Honorable Hicklin there, I think we need to remove her. And as such, DA has three people.
I'll remove my chair. It's a mistake. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
This list process is problematic, Chairperson.
Good morning. Chair, am I audible? I was having some connection problems.
Yes, DM, you are. Morning, DM. We're just waiting for some members to join so that we can start.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I was just checking.
We just need the quorum.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. How many do we need now, Nola?
We've got five, and I guess we can start in the meantime, perhaps by the time we need to by the time the committee needs to adopt and make any decisions, there will be probably six. Thanks, Chair.
Said that we can be in such a situation.
The Honourable Matt Table has just joined, so we've got six members. Chair, we can carry on.
Okay, thank you, Nola. Honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, DG, and your team, the team that supports the Portfolio Committee, our Portfolio Committee Secretary, Connect Advisor and Researcher and Assistant and Executive Secretary, good morning to you all. Today we are going to be dealing with the third quarter performance of the
Minister.
department. Hello?
Minister is part of the delegation.
Minister.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. I do have an apology of him here. Oh, Honorable Minister, I just read your apology and I thought you won't be part of the meeting, but we are happy that you have joined us, even if it's for a few minutes. Honorable members, today we'll be dealing with the third quarter performance of the department. But before we allow the department and the members to come in, let me state it sharply. We are not happy with the way that the department has treated us as this portfolio committee. We've said this several times that we need to get the reports in time so that we can read the reports and apply our minds, because it is our responsibility and duty to not to browse, but to read through the documents that we have sent, to read what our researcher has come about in terms of the documents that have been sent. But yesterday it was till the evening that we have not received the documents. So that didn't sit well with the members. I'm speaking on behalf of all the members of this portfolio committee. So we appeal to the department. It's 2 days department now. for us having these meetings. So at least if we can try to be professional at all times, it would really assist us. We have apologies. One of the apologies that we have is the one of the minister, of course, appreciating what he is doing. We've seen it in the media. He will be opening four bridges, Welisizwe bridges today, which is the program that we know, but he has joined us. Maybe we will leave the meeting later on. Any other apologies that we have, Nola? Oh, no apology on your side. Oh, okay. Let me invite the department, hoping that you have given. I saw Mr. Sithole requesting hosting rights. You have given them the hosting rights. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and the members. May I request to switch off my camera, my video?
Okay, okay.
Yes, thank you. We wish to greet the Portfolio Committee, the chairperson, and all honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. We wish to apologize upfront for the submission that came late. We thought it was the process was the report was submitted on time. However, it seems like there were electronic challenges that happened. We sincerely apologize for that, but we are ready to lead the report, the presentation. The DG is here, I believe, and he will take the meeting through. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. DG?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm connected via Mr. Sithole here in Cape Town office, Chairperson. We will be taking you through our quarter three performance report, and we will start with our performance information, which will be presented by our acting DDG, Mr. Lwazi Mahlangu, who is going to lead the first presentation, and then after that, we'll then deal with the financial performance on the third quarter, which our CFO, whom I'm with here, will then take us through, Chairperson. Let me allow through you, Chairperson, Mr. Mahlangu, to take us through our. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, DG. Morning, Chairperson of the committee and members of the committee, Minister, Deputy Minister, and the support team from Parliament, as well as the colleagues from the department. I'll take you through the quarter three performance, Chair. Next slide. And then I will also compare with what we've done. Also, there's a comparison in terms of also quarter two, just to see that progression, Chair. Next slide. So our presentation is split into two sections, non-financial and financial. Then from slides 5 to 29, from strategic sessions, strategic and mandate of the department to non-financial, and then from slides 30 to 48, we'll then speak of the financial performance. I won't bore the committee with the mandate and the structure of the department. I think that's fairly understood. Through you, Chair, I'll quickly then go to the performance of the quarter, non-financial things. So this is our grid, Chair. As you would note that when you look at the colors, the greens are the ones that were, when you compare the actual performance, is above 90% when you compare the performance with the target. And then 50 to 89% is the performance mid-range, which is basically average performance, performance against the target. And then the target not achieved level two is level 49%, which basically shows weak performance. And mostly you'll find that even from the reasons for deviation, you can see that it's largely process driven. There are still weaknesses within the process, or some processes have struggling in terms of achieving the targets. And then 0 to 10 is targets not achieved, largely input based. Then, Chair, you'll see that in blue, in purple, in gray is basically not a quota target as it appears in the APP, but we are providing progress in relation to the operations of the organization towards that target. So which means that it is not an output at the level of an APP, but it is a process or activity towards that. And then that's basically how we calculate the level of performance. Next slide. Chair and honorable members of the committee, when you look at quarter-on-quarter comparison for 23-24 financial year, we're sitting at 41 in quarter one, 52 in quarter two, and then we're sitting at 45 in quarter three. And when you look at the bottom, the comparison there, you'll see that the level of performance is really way below the targets set in terms of level of performance when you look at the five-year term. So our 23-24 target for performance in each quarter is supposed to be around 81% to 100% target, but we're sitting at 45%. And then the reasons that are provided in the subsequent slides in terms of the level of performance or explaining the level of performance. So we are managing about 31 targets for the quarter. And then out of the 31, 14 are in the green zone, which means that they are above our 40%, I mean 90%, giving us 45%. Then five are within the mid-range, giving us 16% achievement. And then six are within the targets not achieved, and six targets not achieved level one, giving us both 19%. So this is where now you will see the differences or the reasons for deviation in that regard. Next slide. Now, getting into the specifics, the first target is basically where we measure the level of perception rate on surveys. We conduct a survey to measure the perception in terms of ethics and fraud. That also links to if I take the members back in terms of the APP, the outcome on developmental and ethical DPW, capable DPW. So components of ethics are also brought into this through the survey. So it's not a quota target, but the questionnaire was already developed for the third quarter and was sent to ICT for distribution into the organization, where we then collect the data and then we should be able to respond or report on. And the target is mainly for the year to be below 20% to 40%. Now, this is a downward perception rating target. In other words, the lower is the perception rate, the better is how we're perceived. The higher is the perception rate, then the more fraudulent or unethical we are perceived. So it's a downward targeting rather than an upward targeting trend. So that's basically what we did. But in terms of the content of the perception rate, there are categories where we pick up the issues of ethics, management, leadership, consequence management. Those that from the perception rate, where they will then enable to then send a message in relation to what programs need to be initiated to address the issues of fraud and corruption as well as consequence issues. So that's the intention of the perception. In terms of compliance, we are managing top 20 compliance rate. That is also linked to the first section of the APP, which talks about the constitutional mandate as well as legislative mandate of the organization. So we 20 per 20 of those compliance matters are then part of this management practice, and they consist of that compliance universe of the organization where we measure that. The target for all the 20 items should be around 100% each. And then as we report in quarter three, we're sitting at 95%, which is regarded as sufficient in terms of achieving that. Over the past couple of quarters, we've averaged around 82% on compliance. And the areas where you find that there are still challenges is usually around labor relations, particularly the issues around postponement of cases, and then the prolonged cases not completed within the particular period. I think the rule of thumb is about to complete them within 90 days or 60, 90 days. So that's where the major challenge is. And then this one measures the level of performance, which we had done in preliminary, because we still have to dig into the portfolio of evidence to justify the performance that has been reported. It's basically shown in that graph as well. And then the percentage financial level is 75%. Sorry, 75%. And then vacancy rate, Chair, we are sitting at 12% for quarter three, which was more or less the same as quarter two, owing to the fact that there was a moratorium. And since it has been lifted, positions were now being filled, and we should be able to see a change at the end of the financial year when some of the positions they've already set in terms of the positions from being advertised, setting up for panels, shortlisting adverts, and then some of them are in the process of preparing appointment letters. So there will be a change at the end of this. So we're trying to speed it as much as possible to try and achieve a target. Our baseline on this one is 10% share on the basis of DPSA as a rule of thumb to say an organization should be able to operate efficiently with a 10% vacancy rate. But we are saying beyond just that 10%, over time, we should be able to go even lower than that as a way of contributing to also unemployment, addressing unemployment through the department's approach to appointing persons within the organization. Then then we disaggregate that vacancy rate in terms of designated groups, which we have a target of 45% for women in SMS levels, as well as 2% for persons with disabilities. We are sitting at 40%, or rather 41% women in SMS, as well as we are not doing well in persons with disabilities, sitting at 1.28%, so target not achieved. Now, some of the concerns, Chair, we've raised is that when it comes to persons with disabilities, I think we have limited applications that we normally receive from persons with disabilities. Sometimes you receive a large chunk of CVs, but then you find that then when you look at the processes of employment and also DPSA processes, when you match that and also with the you find that some of them then do not even meet the criteria. But there's also issues that we're picking with the sensitive issues of stigma, flexibility as well that are picking up in terms of this. But Chair, there's a process in the department now that is looking into how to boost this figure by ring-fencing certain positions and purely targeting, which means that from an advert point of view, you strictly mention that this is also for persons with disabilities, so that then you manage also the stigma as well as ensuring that there is a deliberate effort in the organization to target and deliberately going for this. So we're looking at this going up in the next couple of months and years. Next slide. Chair, in terms of the business process automation, which is now talking about the capability and agility of the organization in terms of the IT infrastructure, we are looking at automation of some of our processes. We are manual and paper driven, so some of these are based on how we automate them. Again, this is not a quarter target, but we are saying progress-wise, we have an e-leave system that is already gone live, and management no longer uses the paper in terms of the e-leave. It's something that then is done on the system, and then it sends a message to the supervisor, who then has to approve on the system. Then it cuts out the paper system. So that has also been rolled out. The second is to develop a dashboard for property lease management so that you can manage the leases in relation to identifying the leases, where the leases are located, as well as managing the occupancy. and identifying areas where the department needs to then intervene should there be a complaint within that list. So there are quite a number of ICT systems that we also are identifying. So for now, eLive is on life. Dashboard on property list management is still under construction. We also have a database and application designs for list portal, as well as, so this then takes a migration of the old, what you call, legacy systems to try and migrate, and also data cleansing to ensure that you've got a reliable system that can give informed, that will assist in informed decisions on and in respect to leases. Next slide. Then this one, Chair, on the business solutions for digitization, which was an all-encompassing frame in terms of enterprise resource from planning. Because of the challenges and the weaknesses in the system, we have not progressed as we would have liked on this one. And what we have done, Chair and Honourable Members, is that we have subjected this process to two things. One, an assessment of overall ICT systems, where we then looking at how then do we improve on the system from the architecture side, the design, and how it influences the operations of the organizations to address those weaknesses and deficiencies within the current systems. And also we've subjected it to an ICT risk assessment. Now, this risk assessment looks at issues relating to when a module is not operating optimum, what will be the risk in terms of one, the organization in its operations, and secondly, because we deal with the clients such as landlords and lease agreements, etc. So we're also looking at the implications as well as financial payments, all the implications of, you know, running a deficient system. What will be the implications on all of that? So that has been subjected to risk assessment as well as overall assessment of ICT so that we improve on this. And that will then improve the overall architecture of the solutions that will be as we move towards digitization. Digitizing some of our business solutions. Next slide. The second program is split into two. Program one is intergovernmental coordination, and then the second one is the professional services. Now, intergovernmental coordination deals largely with the stakeholder management, and in this case, in relation to public works. Family, which is the National Department of Public Works and the Provincial Department of Public Works, up to the level of local municipalities such as SALCA and COPT, such mostly SALCA, where we're looking at areas where there's common areas. Such as EPWP, land reform, and then we find the best way of how we address this issue. So these are then discussed at the technical MINMEC and MINMEC, and then there are also work streams that then assist in collecting the information as well as sharing knowledge on the specific matters. Two work streams include governance work stream that focuses largely on what you call sector indicators, which means that you're looking at a coherent targets that are applicable to all provincial departments as well as national departments, and then say in terms of infrastructure as a whole, what is the rand value of the infrastructure overall between national and provinces, as well as how do we then deliver that infrastructure. We're looking at then those kind of information. We're also looking at audit issues across the spheres of government, and then the other cluster, which is operational, we look at land reform, YAMA. We also look at issues around the construction and the challenges that we face in construction and how we assist in that. And that information is then looked into and then developed into a sector plan on how then we intervene in areas where there are gaps at that level, and it also feeds into your DTM model. Then those sector reports are then presented at these governance structures such as your technical MINMEC and MINMEC, and then also decisions are then taken on how to influence or change the course of action or direction on the ground in relation to infrastructure. Then the professional services is managing beneficiaries, which basically manages the overall skills pipeline from the demand side to all the way to the supply side, focusing largely on and also inherent into this or embedded into this is also the issuance of bursaries or the awarding of bursaries to as part of empowerment to the those that have been coming from historically disadvantaged communities. To also give that effect to the built environment. So we are managing a portfolio of 1,200, which is split into a number of categories from learnerships, or bursaries, trainee management, and then as a way of also what we will call build your own timber into the organization as a way of also assisting the required capacity over a long-term period within the built environment. Next slide. Program three, Expanded Public Works, we basically manage the work opportunities that are created, and this will then be reported in the EPWP reporting system after having validated the work of all the reporting public bodies. Next slide. Property and construction policy industry is split into two chair and honorable members, one being the internal policy branch, where we focus on the public works bill to be revised and submitted to minister to be introduced in parliament. Now we've had, this is also not a quota target, but we are reporting that there's been ongoing consultations on the public works bill with internal stakeholders to enhance. There are also work streams that have been developed with the provincial departments, as well as engaging the state law advisor to provide guidance on also the certification of this process going forward. Engaging the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, which then assists with the process of what you call socio-economic impact analysis, which then looks at all overall policies and legislative prescripts within the public works sector. So these consultations are ongoing. And I think one of the things that has prolonged this is that there are about 57 plus pieces of legislation within the public works, and others go as far back as in the early 1970s, as far back as 1920s, and all of those have been subjected to an intense consultation process to look at the impact of changing or impact of amending or impact of repealing any of those, when and then how, what will be the impact of embedding some of them into a public works act. So that is an ongoing process of which then once it's finalized and it passes the master at state law advisors, it will then be then introduced to parliament for further processing. The amendment bills of the CIDP also delays in stakeholder engagement, particularly on the inputs by the various stakeholders in relation to the CIDP in relation to sorry I lost network a bit. So in relation to amendment of the CIDP, so stakeholders are still continuing with the CIDP stakeholders and industry, particularly contractors as well as consultants in that regard. Next slide. We also have the Infrastructure Development Act Amendment Bill, which will also be interested, the interest is to submit also to Parliament, the intention to submit to Parliament. We have not moved in terms of the target, which was basically to have the bill pre-certified as well. That process is still underway. Consultation has taken place because this is an infrastructure bill. It touches on a number of other organizations, such as your public enterprise, which and Council for Built Environment, SALGA, SANDRAD, ESCOM. So those are still also being consulted. as well as other state organs such as Transnet and BRASA, who also are in within the infrastructure space, so that we have a common understanding of the bill and its intention with regards to Infrastructure Development Act. So that is still under consultation. And they all, again, also the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor is recommended that we run the full swing or full process of comprehensive engagements with other stakeholders who also have a stake in infrastructure, so that then the bill is all encompassing. And that will also feed into your national infrastructure plan for the country. And all of these must then be consulted. So that is still underway, and will then be the consolidated report with all the various inputs will then be subjected to a further process, submitted to cabinet, as well as brought to parliament, to the parliamentary processes as well. We have achieved the SIPs. The SIPs are basically the ones that were gazetted in July 2020. The report then is presented on a quarterly basis, in a number of structures, the PICC, and then the full details are then presented in terms of the SIPs that then are encompassing to that. And I think one of them, Chairperson, your opening remarks, you've been talking about the minister will have to go and open the bridges. It's one of the SIPs, the Welisizwe bridges. So it would then be a part of these reports that will give the status of the SIPs rent value, as well as the potential impact of those SIPs on the ground. The next one is the repeals, Public Works General Laws Amendment and Repeal Bill. This basically look at, again, it looks at repealing some of the obsolete policies as well as prescripts, which hinder the progression of the department. So that process is still underway. We're engaging also at a level of our principals to also assist in giving direction in relation to how we then take this further. So that is also a consultative process on how we engage on the areas of repealing some of these obsolete or redundant acts, as it may. Next slide. Then we've got prestige policy. This one provides support to the prestige portfolio from presidency, parliamentary portfolio, and parliament villages, as well as other state visits. So in quarter three, there was no events were planned for quarter three. Now there are planned events. There are also unplanned events. Now, planned events are those ones that are known upfront that are going to happen. For instance, the state of nation is known, the budget is known, that is up. Then you also have other unplanned events, such as your state visits. You will see that in quarter two, we would have had the China state visit. You had the Presidential Coordination Council, as well as the Vietnam official visit. So we are differentiating between those that have been planned and then those that are not planned, so that there is an understanding of the support that then Prestige Portfolio provides to those state events as well. That will also include state funerals as well, which cannot be planned upfront. And then when there is a state funeral, then we then invoke the processes of supporting that process. And then that is also backed by the movable assets that we also provide to the prestige clients within a particular period of time. In quarter three, there were no requests received, and therefore nothing was delivered. But you will see that the type of information that we provide in quarter two, for instance, is basically issues such as installation of blinds in some of the parliamentary villages, condition assessment, as well as looking at other requirements that will be required to deal with the infrastructure within those within the prestige portfolio. Next slide. And then again, also in terms of provision of that, we're also looking at the window treatment in some of the residences, which is what we've done in quarter three. 13 out of 16 houses where there was a restoration of existing furniture, in others, sumptuous warmer, with window treatments as well, as and and outdoor furniture and the restoration of that. So these are the wet lists of the movable assets that we provide in terms of the condition of those assets, movable assets within the Prestige portfolio. And we basically respond to those requests. And if you look at the target, we are sitting at 20% based on what would have requested, that would have come to as a request, which means, and what we've achieved was 48.2% on the basis of what we then responded to in giving effect to the request that we came, the Prestige portfolio. Next slide. The next indicator basically is measuring, Jefferson and the members of committee, we are now moving into the PMTE side. Also, PMTE will also measure its financial status as well. The other financial indicator was more on the main vote, which is in administration up to Prestige. And then this will be the financial indicator from the PMT side, of which the full details of that will be in the second section of the presentation, where the CFO, Mr. Stoile, will then take us through in terms of the economic classification and the breakdown. But overall, we are sitting from a PMT, we are sitting at 70% in quarter three, but cumulatively, we are sitting at 93% looking at all the quarters. The challenges have been experienced in terms of the 2.2 billion budget that was unspent, which is compensation. Now, we take it back to the earlier conversation around the vacancy rate on the basis of the monitoring that was placed in the organization, which means that money was not spent in relation to filling those positions. But we should be able to say, as we are now starting to fill those positions, then we should be able to see a huge dent on this budget as we spent. And that then talks to those 534 vacancies that also resulted into that higher vacancy rate and owing to that. So that basically precisely is. But from the goods and services side of it is basically allocations to projects which were not procured in time. Also, there is a moratorium on tenders. Moratorium on tenders that were cancelled by National Treasury in light of the Constitutional Court. This was reflected in 2017. Now, that also created a delay in running those projects, resulting in that 58% of the allocated budget not spent. That also contributed to a higher percentage of then lastly also is the issues around the again, I'm linking that to the earlier conversation around the business solutions that we have subjected this process to a overall assessment of ICT systems, which basically also means that there may be delays experienced in running the business solutions on the basis of that risk assessment, as well as looking at the issues around the SAGE and ACIPAS development and maintenance of those. So that also will have an impact from a goods and services point of view. I think further details will be provided into the breakdown of this IT. Next slide. Of the financial component. Next slide. The real estate investment component is the second program within PMTE, which is the seventh in the overall of the programs of the department, is that we are providing the working together as the custodian asset management plans, which are required legislatively by National Treasury as well as KIAMA to then submit them to National Treasury. This is a mandatory KPI that's normally done in the second quarter, which we achieved in second quarter by submitting to Treasury. But process-wise is that then we collect information from the client departments, which what we use our asset management, which then is consolidated into that. So in quarter three, it's not a quarter three target, but we have done the operational plans, as well as engaged two smaller user departments where they have provided the various needs or the needs of those client departments, which will then consolidate into various chapters that will then overall contribute to the full custodian asset management that then is presented to. Right. So it is an ongoing exercise that once you submit, you still continue with the client departments to assess their needs and then consolidate them into that CM that then will be presented to Treasury. In terms of precinct, no precinct, not a quarter target, no precinct, but there's still work underway in terms of the identified precincts In that regard, you see that in quarter two, there were precincts development plans which were aligned to the NSDF, as well as ensuring that we also aligned to the smart city principle in assisting the corporate governance who's charged with running that smart city principle or smart cities in that regard. Next slide. Construction project management, there are five indicators from the design to projects completed within a agreed period of time, as well as within budget, as well as handover sites, as well as the full scope of the projects that have been completed. We are sitting at, in terms of design solutions, we are sitting at 12 out of 36 that we targeted for quarter three, and that constitutes about 33% of the quarter. And the challenge here, Chair and Honourable Members, it's the continuous challenges that we face with our client departments. The discontinuance of project as per the directive of the client, the reallocation of the project to implementing agents, termination of contracts and young professionals. So this is a basket of challenges that we keep on experiencing. Town planning issues, procurement process challenges, capacity challenges at head office. If you look at the ratio of project manager to the projects as well, it's quite large. And also the late appointment of professionals with regards to providing this aspect of designs, as well as approving the revised base norms and cost norms, so that they contribute to the overall, right? So one is also linking that to the client side in terms of the directives they provide in cancellation, but also from the capacity internal in the department in relation to this kind of termination of contracts. And the continuing, and then affects continuity. In terms of projects agreed, were completed within a great period of time, we was also not doing well. It's five out of the six that we earmarked, which is now in this case is poor project performance or performance by the contractor, and we do experience a number of erroneous projects that are put on the list for practical completion, as well as cash flows that are experienced by contractors, which then affects them their performance in terms of completing these projects within the budget, and also not included them in the procurement plan, cancellation of those contracts, as well as some of these contracts being extended for longer periods. You know, so the extension will have financial implications, and hence it results to these delays. This also affects the construction of period. Next slide. It also affects the budget aspect of it, because with these cancellations, it also has implications on the budget as well. The poor performance of contractors, we are sitting at 20 projects that have been completed within approved budget against the target of 70. And if you look at the trend, even in quarter two, we're basically also not doing very well in relation to this, to projects as well. Now, this also affects the next slide. It affects the overall number of projects that are then completed within the organization. Infrastructure size handover, again, similar challenges that we're facing in terms of handing over to implementing agents, delays that we are experiencing in terms of the funding by the client departments, cancellation of those tenders, as well as some of them cancelled at a tender stage, or stopped by clients, as well as the expiry of contracts and in-house. So this is also linked with those termination of contractors in-house, and then the delays in sketch plans or approvals, and also the stoppages that we also experience as per the directive of the client departments. Then it affects the site handovers. That's making us sitting at 15 of those projects in quarter three out of the 37, which is basically cumulative 40%. Then overall, it affects the number of projects that are then completed by the organization, which is sitting at 20 out of 68 that have reached practical completion. And all of these challenges that I've explained are basically affecting the overall performance of construction. Next slide. The real estate management services, which is the leasing portfolio, we have number of private leases reduced within the security cluster. Chairperson, you would recall that this was an issue where we were looking at state-owned facilities identify and risk occupation. I think this is a deliberate move to look at how best to we then accommodate and use the facilities that are available without really targeting certain specific client, but to look at the feasibility of accommodating some of these clients. So we're looking at some of the state-owned facilities that will be ready for occupation, and then you will look at the migration plans and then moving those into those into those facilities. So initially, this was an issue around Telkom, and you've seen that we have since revised this indicator to looking at the within the portfolio of the state to look at how then do we optimally optimally use this facility to accommodate client departments that will be ready to move in. Inherent into the leasing portfolio is the savings that we then realize. And it's not a quota target. Our annual target is to look at 200 million saved realized on savings realized on the identified private leases. We are currently sitting at 50.2 million or 50.3 million, if you will, in terms of the leases, particularly leases that have been negotiated at head office, as well as leases over a period of 9 years, 11 months, where we will be able to identify these savings over a period of time. But you will also see that this target is 200 million over a period, over the year, financial year, but already in quarter two, we're sitting at 287 million over the target. So there's going to be a significant realization of savings in this regard when we conclude the financial year. Excuse me. Then in terms of revenue generated through the leasing state, we see we're targeting 20% annually, of which is broken down 5% each quarter. But we are, again, this is also we've been talking about Circular 19-135. I think the implementation of that and the proper guidelines and the looking at the internal systems has, with relation to letting up strategy, has also given yielded results where we are now sitting at 182 in quarter three, 82%, which basically is against the 5% target of the changes in revenue generated through the letting up strategy. So that has also been achieved, was already achieved in quarter one with 40%. So it's also a positive achievement of 182 against the 20% annual, which has already been achieved in quarter three. And then the number of unutilized vacant state-owned properties with earmarking 134 for the financial year, 35 in quarter two and 35 in quarter three. We are sitting at 42 out of 134 of unutilized state-owned vacancies that have been, again, as a way of that strategy and guidelines on the letting out that has resulted in us being able to then have more properties against the target of identified unutilized vacant old state properties that have been identified. Next slide. And then we also provide identified or unutilized vacant state owned properties that have been let out for GPV purposes. For quarter three, against a target of one, we had 10 properties that have been signed off for vacant state owned properties that have been made available for GPV purposes. 10 properties are basically within the user agreements that have been signed with those client departments. And then the leases in terms of our BEE status as well as our empowerment principles, we're looking at the list awarded to companies category A, B, and D, and then we are sitting at 83% in quarter three, which is 5 of 6 that have been awarded to these categories against the target of 15%. Also, you see that in quarter two, we had already achieved that target of 75% against 10 10%. And then in terms of the triple BEE and companies above four, triple BEE level four and above, we are sitting at 29%, which basically is 12 out of 42 lease let out companies to those to BEE level four and above. And again, is also trying to speed up through the letting strategy or the guidelines that have been provided in terms of how we improve the process going forward. And then the private leases that are signed with maintenance plan, this is a deliberate effort that any lease agreement that we enter into must have a lease plan, a maintenance plan, so that we avoid the issues of having to deal with the clients' complaints, as well as the disputes that then tend to happen between the clients, the department, as well as the landlords. So that is 100% achieved. So all four leases that were signed within the quarter three had a maintenance plan in place. And then in terms of hectares of land, this is basically support for socioeconomic imperatives, particularly within the land distribution and restitution. We have released about 277,7842 hectares of land released for socioeconomic imperatives. We're working with the Land Affairs Board, and they have to still to approve some hectares amounting to 27.081 hectares to be so we still have approval mechanisms that we also experience challenges from the other departments in terms of the amount of land that can be released, and those approvals will assist. The speedy approvals will also assist in terms of improving on the numbers of hectares that will be to be released. Next slide. In relation to next slide, Program 10, second last program, Chair, we have, this is basically the asset register. We have an indicator that basically where we provide support to provinces as well as national, but more of consolidating immovable asset registers, which then will have been assessed for compliance. So we have three provincial departments, Northwest, Mpumalanga and Eastern Cape, that have been assessed, as well as the national coming in 200%. So three provinces were assessed, again with the previous quarter, with three provinces, Free State, Gauteng, where we assessed this for compliance as asset register. And then the second one, where we physically verify this to validate existence, out of the quantum of 22,273 movable assets, we physically verified, broken down quarterly, and in quarter three, 5,568, we've done about 5,030 movable assets that have been verified. Though there's still some glitches in terms of the resources that are required, and because of the arid land and space and the vast spaces which will require certain type of vehicles, there's still some challenges in terms of how we also deal with this, particularly the delays we can also experience in that. But overall, we are sitting at 90% for quarter three, despite these challenges in addressing the physical verification. The next slide, which is the last program in PMTE and overall program 11 in the department, facilities management, which has three indicators for verification, from condition assessment. Next slide, please. Thank you. It's basically to look at the number of conditions assessment that are conducted and identified. We are also not doing very well on this slide, particularly components, the condition assessment on properties as well as components, such as your HVAC generator sets as well as water systems. And this is sought to be addressed by looking at the preventative maintenance contracts that are put in place to address some of these challenges that we face. In quarter three, we're sitting at 39 out of the 70 target in relation to the condition of assessment. There are challenges within the FM facility, particularly within in terms of the skill set, which basically the quantum of what we currently have in terms of the skills, there's a mismatch to the requirements of the job. And that also has an experience in that then we end up experiencing the challenges of addressing the issues of condition assessment, but largely as well is the issue of that we experience with the consultants that are important to assist as well, where there are delays in bringing in the consultants to try and assist and augment the current skill set. That also is affected also for the second indicator on the components, where we were sitting at 70, which is 58%, 70 of the 120 that is targeted for quarter three. To augment the skill set in the organization, we're experiencing the delays in trying to get the consultants on board and getting into the space and the market to tap in the skills to bring them into this to deal with the issues of components as well as installation of all of these systems, the different sizes of those systems within the different facilities, from the type of the system as well as the age analysis of or the age of those systems and the components that will be required, especially when those components are not available, already available here in the country. So these are some of the challenges that we're facing. But in terms of the putting the systems of preventative maintenance contracts, we're sitting at 155 against 65, which translates to 238%. This is basically as a result of the shift from reactive to preventative maintenance to try and address some of these challenges of maintenance within the organization. So overall, this then are the challenges that we're facing in some areas where we have found solutions, deliberate effort in terms of if you look at it from the corporate services in terms of vacancies, moratorium has been lifted. So there's a speedily approach on how to fill the positions, which will also affect, will have an impact on the financials, as well as social facilitation in areas where we have challenges with regards to construction, as well as the guidelines that have been put in place on the letting out strategy to try and speed up the issues around the letting out, as well as reactive maintenance to move to preventative maintenance term contracts to try and address the issues of being reactive all the time, and as well as creating that comfort within client departments to ensure that things are then maintained well on time before they become a dispute. And then we are bogged down on dispute issues with the client departments around maintenance. Chair, overall, that is the level of performance and the details of the non-financial performance. The next will then take us to the financial aspect. Thank you, Chair, and members of the committee.
Thank you, Lazi. I think Mr. Sithole, CFO, has to come in now.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you and members of the Portfolio Committee, Minister, DM, DG, and colleagues. My slides are not moving now. Sorry, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
My slides are not moving and I've been... can I try to...
But on my side, it's moving, but it's very small. It's a piece. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, it's moving now. I'm not sure if you can see slide 31.
Yes, we can see slide 31.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry about that. Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, this is the expenditure report for the main vote as at end of December 2023, where in slide number 31, we have the adjusted budget allocation for 23-24 financial year, which was 8.5 billion. And we have spent 6.3 billion. And there is a balance of 2.1 billion, which is not yet spent. In terms of the percentage of spending, for administration, the spending was 73%. Which is just slightly below the guidelines of 75%. then if you look at the drawings that we requested from Treasury, it was 385 million, whereas the spending was 402 million with a variance of 16.9 million. This is as a result of the areas where we spent more than the drawings that was requested. However, it doesn't mean we have overspent. All what it means, the drawings to National Treasury are submitted at a particular point in time. There was adjusted estimated national expenditure, which was approved in October. So we then have submitted the revised cash flow projection, which Treasury will approve soon. Hence, you see that difference. And intergovernmental coordination, the spending is 61%. Expanded public works is 82%, where we've spent 2.4 billion against 2.9 billion, which is above the 75% guidelines in terms of the third quarter. Property and construction industry policy and research, the budget is 4.8 billion, and we've already spent 3.5 billion. Which is 71% spending. The reason for that is mainly the ITC that did not fully spend. I'll also explain other areas at a later stage. Prestige, the spending is 68%. This is due to what Lwazi has indicated, because this project is dependent on the state events. So if then there are few state events, the spending also will be a little bit below. If also there are many state events, and this spending will increase. So as I said, Chair, the overall spending for the main vote is sitting at 75% as at end of December 2023, which is in line with the guidelines. Then in terms of the trends, compare first quarter to the third quarter. Administration in quarter one, we were 21%, and in quarter two was 46%, and in quarter three, 73%. So we've been improving in terms of the expenditure. Similarly with intergovernmental coordination, however, we are sitting at 61%. EPWP also, we started at 9%. In quarter two was 47%, and in quarter three, it's 82%, which is above the guidelines of 75%. Then on property and construction, the similar trend, where we started at 26% in quarter one, and quarter two, 54%. I've already indicated the quarter three, similarly with police speech. Then in terms of economic classification, which is a little bit detailed on current expenditure, the adjusted budget is 1.2 billion and we spent 733 million with a balance of 504 million, which then represents 59% in terms of the overall spending. Then in terms of the details, compensation of employees, we had a budget of 582. We've already spent 391 million, leaving us with a balance of 191 million, which then represents 67%. Lwazi has already indicated the reasons for the underspending on compensation of employees. On goods and services, the budget is 655 million. I must indicate, Chair, included in this 655 million is 200 million for ESA, which is project preparation. So out of then the spending that we have spent of 342 million, we haven't spent on project preparation, which is a significant budget. So when you see 52% spending, it's mainly due to the spending that we are not having for project preparation. Hence, then we are spending 52%. Then on transfers and subsidies, The total budget is 7.2 billion. So you can see, Chair, the significant part of the budget for the main board goes to transfers and subsidies. And then the department has 1.2 billion for its own operations. So in terms of the spending, it's 5.6 billion that has been spent, with the balance of 1.6 billion to be spent until end of March, which then represents 78% spending, which is also above the guideline of 75%. Then in terms of the details for transfers and subsidies, provinces and municipalities, the spending is 84%. Then departmental agencies and accounts, it's 75%. Foreign government and international organization, it's 100% spending. Public corporation and private enterprise sitting at 48%. That is where then also we have ESA, where we are using IDC to run the programs of ESA. So there is also an underspending in that area. Then for non-profit institutions, we are doing well. It's 85% spending. We must not be worried about that. Then households, we are sitting at 91%, which is also good. I've already explained the rise in terms of the cash flow. It's due to cash flow projections, which the drawings have been submitted to Treasury for approval, which will then be cleared, all those rights. It doesn't mean that we are overspending. Then the overall spending for transfers and subsidies is 75%, whereby we've spent 6.3 billion with a balance of 2.1 billion that we still need to spend. In terms of the trends, I'm not going into details. It's the similar trend as I was indicating on other economic classifications. I've already explained the reason, Chair, for underspending in certain areas or where we are concerned. Then in terms of the details of transfers and subsidies, the majority of them, we are okay. The only one that I need to put an emphasis is Industrial Development Corporation, where out of 110 million, we have spent 55 million, which represents 50%. It's also linked to ESA, where then the spending is not at 75%. However, there are a lot of engagement between ESA and ourselves to improve the spending. Then the other one that is of concern, Chair, it's a Parliamentary Village Management Board, which is we have spent 3.3 million, which is 50%. However, as we were making follow-ups, a payment has been processed as a transfer. So this expenditure will improve when we report for the fourth quarter. Then EPW integrated, IDT. The spending for IDT, it's sitting at 46%. I must explain for IDT, the Treasury approved during adjusted E&E in October. So the spending has been moving very well if you compare the approval. Sorry, Chair, can you hear me? Oh, okay. So for IDT, as I was saying, the approval was in October. They've already spent 46%, which is good. We are not worried about that because they were given the funding after October. Then for EPWP, Integrated Grant for Municipalities, it's also a concern where the spending is sitting at 68% against the budget of 748 million. But these the reasons for this is because some municipalities did not comply with DORA. So there are a lot of interventions that have been made to improve spending in this area. We hope then by end of March, the expenditure will have improved significantly because of interventions that have been put in place. So I thought, let me highlight those areas of concerns, Chair. So in terms of the overall performance for transfers and subsidies against the budget of 7.2 billion. We have spent 5.6 billion, which is 78% in terms of the percentage against the budget. Now I'm moving to PMTE Chair. For PMTE, this is just a summary where we are comparing budget and cash flow. In terms of the receipts, the original budget was 8.3 billion, and there was a revision because of a revised tariff structure that was approved by Treasury. As a result, there was a decrease of 1.1 billion, and we took some of the amounts to fund IDT, as I've explained earlier on, and some of the imposed deductions of budget cuts that Treasury imposed. So as a result, we had a budget cut of 1.1 billion. So the revised budget for PMT then is 17.1 billion, and we have already built 11 billion against the 17.1 billion, which then represents 65%. If you compare with the previous year around the same period, we're sitting at 67%. Current and transfer expenditure, we have a budget of 14.1 billion and we've spent 10.1 billion, which is 72% spending, which is below by 1% if you compare with the same period in the previous financial year. Then if you then compare the bills or receipts that were issued, we achieved 11.1 billion, whereas the spending was 10.1 billion. So you look at that, if you look at that, then you have a surplus of 949 million. However, capital payments, we have a budget of 3 billion. There were also reduction there or revision, as I've already explained, in terms of the imposed budget cut, as well as clients cutting their budget because they were also experiencing budget cut. So as a result, we have a revised budget of 3 billion for capital payments. We have spent 1.8 billion, which is 62% spending. It's a huge improvement by 10% if you compare to the previous financial year around the same period. So if you then compare the overall share, if one looks at how much we received compared to the payments that we've processed, we are sitting at a negative cash flow of 911 million. Then for the revenue, to just summarize, Chair, as I indicated, I've already explained the reductions that we experienced. However, the entity has invoiced 12.6 billion of its budget against 17.1 billion that I've already indicated. And then if you look at this is equivalent to 74% of the total budgeted revenue, where then actual receipts in relation to the current financial year amounts to 10.6 billion, which is then a 84% recovery rate. So what it means, Chair, the clients are not paying the previous financial year, but current invoices, we are sitting at 84%, which is a good improvement. Then expenditure, I've already explained it. I will also go into details just to give the members more details. I've already explained, Chair, this slide, so I'm not going into details so that we manage time, except just to give a high level to say we have a revised budget on projected revenue of 17.1 billion, as I have explained, and the actual performance is sitting at 11 billion, which is then 65%, which is 2% below compared to the previous financial year around the same period. Then the trend also, I'm not going into details, it's just explain how we were performing throughout the quarter, first quarter until the third quarter. Then in terms of the expenditure, the current payments in terms of the details, we have a revised budget of 12.1 billion. I'll explain the details of revision. We have explained them in the previous quarter when we are reporting to portfolio committee. So against that budget of 12.1 billion, we have already spent 8.7 billion, which then represents 72%. The one that I would want to highlight for the members to note is the one of maintenance, where we have already spent 90% as at end of December 2023, which then is a concern. However, there are interventions that are being made to contain that expenditure and also to look at environments and adjustment in to move money where we are underspending to prevent overspending in this area. Also, the repair, which is also meant as part of the program that must prevent your day-to-day maintenance, we seem not to do well in that area, whereby we have spent 52% of the budget. Despite reductions that were made, we are still not spending that money. However, if you compare with the same period last financial year, where it was 43%, we are at 52%. So there is a slight increase in terms of comparison with the previous financial year. Then the other one that I think I must highlight is on goods and services, where we are at 58%. I think Loazi has already provided reasons for this. I'm not going to repeat the reasons that were provided. Then on transfer payments, which is property rates, we are sitting at 68%. This one, Chair, is dependent on municipalities giving us invoices for property rates. So we do pay all invoices within 30 days, but we are also making follow-ups with municipalities where they are not billing us so that we can improve spending in this area. Then the overall total expenditure, both for current and transfer, against the budget of 14.1 billion, we have spent 10.1 billion, which represents 72%, which is a slight decrease if you compare with the same period around the same time in the previous financial year. So there is a slight decrease of 1% for the reasons that I've already outlined. Then if you look at capital payments, which include machinery and equipment and the infrastructure, the total budget is 4.1 billion, and which was original, and we have revised it for the reasons that I've already explained, which then the total budget was reduced to 3 billion. So in terms of the details for refurbishments, we have a revised budget of 809 million or 810 million. We have spent 459 million, which is 57% of the budget, which is an increase if you compare to the previous year around the same period where we're sitting at 49%. So there is a slight improvement in that area. However, it's still below the guideline of 75%. Similarly, with the PW capital budget, we are at 63%. There is a slight increase of 1% if you compare with the same period in the previous financial year of 62%. Machinery and equipment, there is a significant increase if you compare to previous financial year around the same period where we are sitting at 67%. Then client capital, Chair, we have a budget of 1.5 billion. Where we have spent 920 million, which is 63% of the budget. Similarly, in this area, we have seen a significant improvement compared to the previous financial year in the same quarter, where we have moved from 50% to 63%. So the overall performance for infrastructure, we have spent 1.9 billion. Which is also an improvement if you compare with the previous financial year around the same period where we are sitting at 62%, whereas in that period were at 52%. So the overall performance for PMT is sitting at 70%, which is 11.9 billion expenditure. The trend also, I'm not going to go into details except to highlight the maintenance one, where you can see it's 90% spending, which is far above the guidelines of 75%. The rest, I think it's just reflect how we've been performing throughout the quarters. I've already explained the details here. I'm not going to go into details. Then on debtors, which is slide 47, this is the age analysis per classification of our debtors. Accommodation charges, the aging for current clients are owing us 24 million. And 30 days plus is 24 million, 60 days plus 1.1 billion. And 23-25 financial year, it's 1.2 billion if you add all these categories. Whereas for the previous financial year, it's 1.8 billion which clients are owing. This demonstrates that clients are not paying the previous year's outstanding debt. Then the total is 3 billion. Similarly with private leases, the same trend you can share. However, for leases, we are sitting at 1.4 billion as a total outstanding balance. Municipal services is the one that is a concerning chair. If you compare the previous year and the current year, there is a significant gap which shows that clients are not paying the old balances for municipal services, where for previous years it's sitting at 6.1 billion. Plan capital, that one is performing better. We are not extremely worried. However, clients must still pay us for each and every cent that they owe us. Similarly with recoverable projects. Then the total debts, tasks that where clients are owing us, is sitting at 11.6 billion. You can see, Chair, 77% of what is outstanding relates to previous financial years. Then in terms of interventions that we have made, we came to this committee on the second quarter where the chairperson requested us to develop an instrument that will be able to assist us. If I quote the chair, she said, we need to have an instrument that will be binding, legally binding, and have teeth to bite. We have drafted the practice note, which we have consulted our legal services, and we've submitted it to National Treasury in February. We are still waiting for Treasury's comments. What basically we are trying to achieve out of that practice note is just to emphasize that any client that do not pay us, we must not provide services. And we also outline under which circumstances where we must then stop providing services for such clients, because we are sitting at more than 11 billion where clients are owing us. However, the same clients are complaining about the services that we deliver while those services require funding. Clients, they don't pay us to the extent that even where we have service providers such as leases and contractors, they just don't pay us, making it difficult for us to honor our obligation, resulting to project being delayed and a lot of services where we are unable to provide quality services to our clients. So that's basically the practice note that we have developed. However, Chair, it's subject to concurrent by National Treasury and their approval thereof. However, there are a lot of things that we are doing besides what we have drafted as a response to what the portfolio committee recommended us to do. We are doing monthly campaigns where there are certain days where finance stop everything. We conduct clients' departments, we conduct our debtors, all of them. Hence, you can see, Chair, the current invoices are really receiving attention, clients are paying. However, the problem is on old balances. There are also DG to DG engagements where DG also is intervening, and also Minister and DM, they are also intervening at their level. We've also requested an agenda item through foresight whereby we will then be able to present the status to all DGs, and DG is working on that. We have also established a dispute subcommittee where we try to resolve all the disputes where clients are putting as a reason not to pay. We are also addressing that. In some instances, Chair, we've already referred three clients' departments to National Treasury for National Treasury to intervene. And Treasury is helping in certain areas where then they are even participate in the meetings that we are having with clients' departments, such as Defence, where we had a meeting last week. We then recommend as the Department of Public Works for the Portfolio Committee to note the third quarter performance information for both financial and non-financial information. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, CFO, Lwazi, and DG for this information. Now, in the absence of any other addition from this team, DM, I'm sure you are the one now. I invite honorable members to make observation, comments, discussions on this third quarter performance report that has been presented to us. The only hand that I can see now is the one of Honorable Siwisa. Honorable Siwisa. Followed by
thank
Honorable. Yes, Honorable Siwisa.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I don't have much to say, Chair. Let me first start by greeting everyone. Good morning, and let's welcome the presentation that was done. Chair, if you go through this report, there's a lot of things that are a bit concerning, because last week we had a report on some on leases and properties from the PMTE. And it was very alarming of all the things that we heard in that meeting. Today we are getting a third quarter report of the department, specifically PMTE. And there are a few things that I've picked up here. And I think I must also raise my concern to say that it's very alarming that we receive a report, the issue of 7 days before the meeting is not applicable anymore by the department. Now we have to browse through whatever presentation that is given to us, which is very unfair, which means that we can't do our work properly and go through the report as it's supposed to be done. It's very unfair towards us. And this thing is, it seems as if imaniyanda every time. There's always, this time is the worst of them all, that you must receive a report in the middle of the night. It's very unfair. That's the first one that I want to raise. Number two, Chair, if you go to the PMTE administration, they speak about 534 vacancies. And you look at the performance of the PMTE, it says to you the PMTE is in trouble. For the mere fact that they already have an underspendature of 50, which means that they'll have an underspendature of 52 million. One would ask, what is the role of the PMTE in this whole thing? Taking into consideration that the department is still pushing for the triple P, which means that, again, I'm going to state this, which means that, again, some of the duties, the PMTE is not doing what needs to be done. And because of they are not doing what needs to be done as an entity, And that is why most of the sister departments prefer to do their own maintenance. Some of them are pulling out. Some of them do not trust the department to do what needs to be done, the role of the PMTE in all of that. I still need to find out. I thought that today we'll have somewhere we'll be told about the parliamentary village boards. Somewhere in between in the report we'll be told about the parliamentary, because the report speaks about the parliamentary villages and the prestige, but they do not speak about the boards. As we know that Acacia Park is one of the villages where we don't know where there's some, we don't know what's happening with the board. They've got a very bad report of not submitting financial statements on time. Now, when we come to the prestige and the state events, I once made a recommendation to the department to say that the department needs to procure items that they know are being used. These are standard items that they are used. So I want to find out, I was given a promise that the department is going to look into that. I want to find out from the department, how far are they? Because if you've got your own items or your own material, then it means that you are going to spend less in hiring of certain things that we know these are standard things that you need to have as any person who is running a certain business. That's number one. How far are they with the procurement of having some of their items? And then the other one, check. When you go to the construction project management, delays in procurement, it takes you back to the vacancies. It takes you back, facility management, there's a problem. It all goes back to the 534 vacancies, which means that the PMTE is going to be redundant, because the construction project management has led to, because of anything, there was a delay in procurement. And for some reason, the in-house contractor, the contract expired, which means that the department paid someone for a job that he never did or she never did. So the person was there, it's an in-house contractor, money was spent on this person, but for some reason, the in-house, there was a delay in whatever, the negative effect that it had with the in-house contractor, and then the his or her contract was expired at a later stage. Was there any work that was actually done by the in-house contractor during the period that he was under the employment of the department? The handing over of construction sites simply means that service delivery is not going to happen if there's going to be a delay in handing over of sites. In some of the reports, it has been stated that there was a negative report, so the sites could not be utilized at a later stage. How do you identify a site that you are not sure and then spend money? And then after spending money, you get a negative report. Contractors that are behind schedule simply means that more money is going to be spent. Are these contractors still going to be given another opportunity to do any work for Department of Public Works, since now there are red flags that these people cannot stick to the timelines? Because, Chair, we can't find ourselves with contractors that cannot honor what they are supposed. They are given time frames and then they can't honor the time frames, and then the time lapses, which means that if the time lapses and the contract is not finished, it means that other money must be spent. A delayed contract means that more money is going to be spent, money that is not there, Chairperson. There is no money. And even those contracts that have been completed, one would ask yourself, are they sustainable for the coming 20 years? Because you'd find that a construction has been done or infrastructure has been built, after 5 years, there are certain repairs that needs to be done. So it's a concern, Chairperson. The cutting, the decision of National Treasury to cut the budget for PMTE or for the department says again to you, does the PMTE know their role? What are they supposed to be doing? Because most of their work is taken over. It's either by the sister departments, or they are going to be, their work is going to be taken over by private owners that are going to be leased out some of the public buildings in order for maintenance to be done. So the question that would arise, and I'm afraid that we are going to have to fight for the PMTE the same way that we fought for the IDT, is that at some point PMTE is going to be phased out. Because every time the report gets bad and bad, and there's the, every time there's something, and my greatest fear, Chairperson, is the issue of the PPP and the role of the PPP and the purpose of the PPP when it comes to maintenance, and the main reason why the departments were, is adventuring into the triple P issue. At the end of the day, PMTE is not going to have any relevance in the department itself. I'm going to pause there for now, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Sivisa. Honorable Njobo?
Greetings to you, Shannon, Minister and DM, and DJ and the team, Nola and your team. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and I'd like to welcome the report and greetings to members of Parliament. Chairman, I'd like to comment on the people living with disability. But it looks like there is no improvement since we received the report from the department, special on this issue of disability. But I'd like to ask just one question, that do they have anyone on their position, on senior position, who's living with disability? Because my understanding, people living with disabilities, they got diplomas and degrees. Because we can't have the situation where the department always come with this issue of can't recruit people living with disability. I'm not happy with that one, Chairperson. Another one, the issue of municipality not comply with DORA. It's not the first time to hear this, that the municipality not comply with DORA. I think the department must visit our recommendations. Because we when we adopt the report, we do the recommendation. I think the department must go to our recommendations. Then apply those recommendations. Lastly, on the parliamentary villages, they are going to put the, what you call, the blinds instead of curtains. I'm not sure that maybe it's a good idea, but I'm not sure it's good, because even blinds, they need service. So I'm not sure. Is it good? Because as members, the service you are receiving from the department is not good. When you, if the department can go, can do the oversight, not outside, inside in our houses, it's very bad, the conditions. When you check the lace curtains, for example, I bought the lace curtains for myself, where I stay. So the parliamentary villages, the condition, especially inside. You can. There is a, in fact, there is a renovations, of which is good, that those renovations. But in terms of curtains and some stuff, and I don't think the department is doing well on this one. I think they must do something better than they are doing. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Njabo. Honorable Sikhala.
Chairperson, good morning, and good morning to all the honorable members, including the colleagues from the department. Chairperson, I suppose in many instances it does become exhausting when members of the committee have to repeat themselves in as far as the presentation from the department is concerned. But I also want to share Honorable Siusa's sentiment around the late submission of presentations. It's almost as if it is an intention for us not to delve deep into the presentation and note out the nitty-gritties that may be highlighted, given that the final part of the presentation was technical in nature and as far as numbers are concerned. So I just want to highlight that as a dissatisfaction and a bone of contention that I would have imagined that the department would have learned, given that it's not the first time that we raised this issue. Let me jump on to the bandwagon of PMPE, where Honorable Siwisa has left off. When we had a meeting with the department and we asked about this vacancy rate, this unacceptable vacancy rate, and we were told at the time, I just don't have the numbers in front of me, in that meeting, so that I quoted the numbers verbatim from the presentation. But we know that there is an incredible amount of competition for position as it relates to PMTE, given that a lot of the staff members that do resign end up going to the private sector, and some end up going or taking positions overseas. But Chair, it has not really, we've not really seen any form of plan or strategy from the department as far as PMTE is concerned on how that can be mitigated. And this is very clear on the vacancy numbers that are on slide 21, which is now 534. And I would imagine that the department themselves would have found this unacceptable during the first meeting where this was highlighted, and would have come to this particular meeting today to actually give us a strategy on how, given the following that we already know, this is what we are doing and this is where we are and so forth and so on. There is a mention of on slide 12 of non-availability of panels. I'm not sure how we can have a situation where we don't have available panelists to undertake interviews and so forth and so on. And perhaps there may be reasons that I may not have, or that are unique, that the department may want to perhaps take us through, so that they can then allow us the opportunity to then have first-hand experience as to why that is the case. The chapter that I'm not, the mention of the Parliamentary Village Board is, yeah, it's like a boogeyman of some sort. You know, we hear about them, we hear about the transfers that they get, but we're not really sure what is their usefulness, you know, as far as their role towards the department is concerned. So let me ask on program 4 that deals with policy, was there not an indication or a mention that the purpose and the point of the public works bill was to collapse all other policies into that single bill? Okay, can I get maybe clarity on that? Was that the point of that bill, or will there be a continued venturing into other policies that relate to various issues around the department, or should we not be focusing all our attention on then collapsing all those particular policies into one specific bill, so that we can actually be able to know exactly what governs the department in as far as that is concerned. I'll leave it at that, Chair, but I do think that over the past year or so, we've given comments on the department's reports or presentations. As per their presentation, these aren't things that are new. So these issues that have been raised, as Honorable Siwa said, there have been recommendations that have been made previously. So we're not sure why the department is not taking such recommendations seriously. We're not sure why we're not getting a presentation on the way forward or based on previous presentations. Spoken about the issue of section of Circular 135. I mean, we're just talking about Circular 135 now, aren't we? It's not really something that for us as committee members that is tangible, that we can actually put our fingers to and say, well, this is what it's achieving and this is what it's doing. So I just find it really, really challenging and problematic to engage on almost sort of like the same material over and over, as if, you know, our commentary as committee members is just that. We're just fulfilling a mandate. We're not really trying to do anything in order to actually change some of the challenges that are being faced by the department. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sixolo. Let me also add my voice in appreciating the presentation that we have given by the department. I won't add more because I talked on the late submission, but I really echo the sentiments that are presented by my colleagues on that one. On this one, the presentation, I think one, I don't know, maybe because I even had to call the department to ask for the presentation. But in your slide 49, the one that you sent to us, the presentation that you were presenting here apparently was the presentation that was prepared for the minister's meeting with top management, MINTOP, not for us as the portfolio committee. But okay, we'll let that slide. Two, I echo the sentiments that have been raised, especially on the issue of understanding by the department on some of the programs. For example, why are we saying we have understand on municipal services? Does that actually mean we are not paying rates and service charges where we are supposed to do so in municipalities? I think that one is a serious issue that has to be addressed. It can be that we are proud of writing that we have understand on municipal services, knowing full well how some of the municipalities are having serious challenges in raising the revenue. There is a we appreciate that there is Mr. Sibanda on as the head of PMTE. But the fact that you are still underspending when it comes to the compensation of employees, Honorable Sisolo is saying some are leaving the department, some are going even overseas, some are going to private sector. So it means you have a head, but with a skeleton, there is nothing there. I think it's not good if we really want this entity to work so well. Lastly, you have indicated that you have a low expenditure in terms of client capital. We have said this several times that if a PMTE is not doing what it is expected to be done, its primary function, that of providing proper accommodation and property maintenance services to the client departments. It means that those departments won't trust this department. You will have departments that demand their budget so that they will provide for themselves, not PMTE. And you will have this PMTP being just an entity that is not doing anything. I think we need to improve on this one. I felt that this needs to be raised seriously. Thank you. I now invite the department to respond to the questions that we and comments that we have raised. Thank you.
Chairperson, let me attempt to respond. Obviously, I think the principals will probably have comments at the end. I'm not sure, but maybe let me just try to respond to all the questions that were raised. Maybe to highlight, Chairperson, an overarching sort of response, which I want to maybe emphasize to the committee that just between weeks that we've been there in portfolio committee and we've been to other committees in Cape Town, I'm talking about a few weeks, Chairperson, where we've been presenting different reports. And the different reports, unfortunately, are sort of asking more or less the same questions. And what I want to confirm to the Chairperson and the committee members and our principals present is that we are really working hard to try, by all means, to satisfy all questions raised by our honorable members. I will indicate that some of the questions that have been raised, I'm going to repeat here, so that there's understanding of what is really happening. Maybe let me start with Honorable Siwisa. The issue of the administration at PMTE and also the vacancies that we've highlighted, about 534. It's not that we are not doing anything. Chairperson, we have indicated that through our minister and deputy minister, a lot of SMS positions, which are chief directors and directors. The minister has approved all those panels. It's been done. And as I speak with you today, as early as yesterday and even today, there are interviews happening that we are busy filling those positions, which I think from where I sit, there is progress in terms of what we are trying to do in respect of that. The second part is that other positions, Chair, that are vacant, unfortunately, we have to go via DBSA, to which we've sent our request to add those positions to be finalized. And DBSA has not come back to us to fill those positions. The third part is to indicate that some of the positions that we want to also advertise, that would have come based on employee attrition or resignation and what have you, must still follow the same process because there was an issue where National Treasury wanted us to reduce the filling of positions as part of austerity measures. So I just want to confirm and indicate to the committee that when it comes to really recruitment, we are really pushing hard, and I believe that all the DDGs, chief directors in the department are really trying. We will really see some change. It might not take us 2 weeks to do so. I believe, Chair, we really hope that when the new report comes, it will come with a difference. I believe that will change the way things are. The other issue that I want to indicate around the issue of the delays on sites, as raised by Honorable Siwisa, I just want to indicate also that, yes, these are the things that even the minister have highlighted in various platforms. To the extent that most of the projects that are delayed and are abandoned by contractors for whatever reasons that have been put in could be the contractors failing to complete projects, I believe that there is really work that is being done. I'll just cite, Chair, we even went to the portfolio committee last week on police to really deal with police stations, which I believe will be our minister last week, went to Vuani to give the hope to the people
on a point of
in,
order.
Along that area on that one. Oh, sorry, Chair.
Chairperson, if I may call a point of order, I don't know how to address it in the committee, but just the point of clarity, I suppose, from Mr. Sitoy.
While he's still responding, Honorable Sihlalo, or...
No. It's on a point that he's just mentioned now, on the point that was mentioned by Honorable Sivisa on contractors and them not completing projects, and he's highlighting that work has been done in that regard. And you would recall, Chair, that it isn't the first time that we've asked the department to keep us abreast of work that has been done in as far as these contractors are concerned, because it is important that we know what work has been done by the department in order to curtail contractors who are abandoning site. I mean, you've got quite a number of facilities, I mean, in the Free State across the country that we've visited on our personal capacity as members. And there are millions that are being paid to these contractors, and, you know, they don't get work done. Then you find that other contractors have to be brought on site. Case in point, you know, the Paris facility, the previous contractor pocketed well over 100 million rand there. There's a new contractor on site. Obviously, that looks promising. But we want to know whether the department will be prepared to share with us as a committee what this work that is being done is exactly. Are we going to make sure that we bar these particular contractors from getting any work in the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure? Are we going to red flag them so that other departments don't consider them for projects? What exactly is it that is going to be done? And perhaps that's just my frustration around the fact that, you know, there's always talk that something will be done, but as committee members, we're never really taking into confidence that this is in actual fact the work that will be done and so forth and so on. Details around those. Thank you, Chair, and apologies, Mr. Sitoy, for having to interrupt you there. Apologies indeed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sihlalo. I also see DM's hand. I don't know whether she wants to come in now or there's a point that she wants to emphasize, or she will come in later. DM?
No, Honorable Chair, my hand was just up that while the officials are commenting, I also give input because the minister is here. He's the one that will close, so that I also get accommodated in giving some inputs and responses.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, TM. Mr. Sitoy, can you please continue and maybe try to, I don't know whether respond or give clarity.
I'm not Mr. Sitoy, I'm Mr. Mtaran, I'm the DG of the department. Sorry, I'm using Mr. Sitoy's platform right here in the same office in Cape Town. I'm responding on behalf of the department. But let me indicate the following, Chair. I won't necessarily respond. I'm taking notes. I will, as per Mr. Sicholo's indication, we will be able to look at providing such a report possibly around what is raising. It's just that I was still explaining, so I just got cut. But let me proceed, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I do take the issue that is raised by Honorable Swiss around the construction that is done 5 years later and something must be repaired. I think that's one area where we feel that as soon as new projects are opened or given or handed over, a proper TFM contract must actually align with that. Just to cite an example, Chair, we just opened the Potchefstroom Court, Magistrate Court in Potchefstroom. It was done by our Minister and Honorable Lamula. In that, we are finalizing the TFM contract for that new court. That will actually elevate the challenges that we are having. However, I think there's still some lot of improvements required there. When it comes to Honorable Mjobo around the issue of people living with disability, we do agree with you, Honorable Member, that we are actually sitting below 2% as per our target in that area. Maybe to indicate directly to you how many people are in the department who are disabled that are already in the system. I will just highlight one chief director, Advocate Monama. She's the chief director in PMO. And then the other director, Moses Strele, is the director in disposals, one of the SMS members. And then just to say, we have engaged a great deal with our colleagues from human resources to ensure that we really improve on this one. I think the recommendation by the committee was also to consider talking to the Department of Women and People with Disabilities. So I think that process has been is being followed as we recruit a chairperson in respect of that. When it comes to the issue of parliamentary villages, I think I will actually indicate to Honorable Mjoba that I made a commitment to this committee to say, as the prospective new or a new chairperson of the Parliamentary Villages Board, I've made commitment that I'll actually get to sit the first meeting. I believe that the STP will be getting the request so that we can have the election, so that we get proper members elected, so that we can proceed. But however, I think it's good that we look at getting those visits done. I've personally been to Acacia Park, but there's also Laboria and Pelican, to which those are the three main villages that we are dealing with. I think we need to look at that, Honorable Member. I think it's a good point you are raising. The issues raised by Honorable Seitlolo in respect of the vacancy rate, I think it was just emphasizing the necessary need to make sure that there must be some plan to mitigate. I think I've tried to explain that. And then the the issue of panels. When you write a report, we normally put all the risks that are causing probably any delay that might happen. Sometimes you set up a meeting and say there will be a panel sitting on a particular day. Suddenly, that maybe is not happening. Maybe it could be raised. It would have been raised there as a risk. I think we're going to look at improving that. And then when it comes to public works bill, I think I will allow Mr. Ndo to just highlight for the committee in terms of that area. And then the last one, Chair, which you raised, we just want to apologize on the presentation. I've actually picked that up already. We did ask the CFO to change that where it's written Mintop. In respect of the president, we just want to apologize. And then the CFO will respond on the municipal services chairperson. And then the issue on the expenditure on compensation of employees, Chair, maybe to also emphasize again, the positions have not been filled. There have been moratoriums that have been experienced. There have been delays by the issue of DPSA imposing restrictions in terms of filling posts. So I think, Chair, I will maybe through you allow the CFO and Didi Chindo to respond on those two issues. Unless there's something that I would have missed, I would have missed, other colleagues can come in. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, DG. Chairperson, on municipal services, we do pay municipalities, Chair, on time. The difficulty with municipalities, we actually beg for invoices. We even send letters to municipalities requesting them to bill because we want to spend the money. But Chair, I hope you know that municipalities are at different levels in terms of dysfunctionality. We really encounter a lot of challenges. We are tracking our payment of invoices on weekly basis, where we meet all the regions across the country to monitor all invoices to say they must be paid within 30 days. So the challenges, Chair, they are more on the side of municipalities where we are not getting invoices. Where we get invoices, invoices are not correct, but in terms of prioritizing all valid invoices, we do pay, Chair. But let me just comment on that, because we do have a budget and we want to spend all the money that we are having for rates and taxes and utilities. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Chair, Minister and Deputy Minister, DG, thank you so much. I am going to give clarity with regard to the question that has been raised around the Public Works Bill. I think Honourable Member is correct to say that the bill is going to provide an overarching framework that can be used by all organs of state to cross-refer when they execute their own public works function. And it is also correct, Honourable Chair, that we are considering the 57 pieces of legislation that are administered by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to find expression in the bill itself. And taking into consideration the General Laws Amendment Bill that we actually put in our APP, which deals with the 57 pieces of legislation. So by and large, we have different thematic areas that are going to actually consider what the bill should actually encapsulate. And in the main, we shall actually look at those 57 pieces of legislation and see how best we can collapse the absolute redundant and some of the pieces of legislation that need review. So to strengthen that particular area of work, Honorable Member, we have formulated a work stream to actually look on the pieces of legislation that are actually administered by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And we're going to actually get a report that is going to actually formulate part of the chapter of the bill itself to actually collapse those pieces that are dated, that are absolute, that are redundant, informed by the South African Law Reform Commission report, which actually, you know, looked at those 57 pieces of legislation. But by and large, the work is ongoing. We have got different work streams. I think we have formulated about 5 work streams to look at different areas that are supposed to actually find expression in the bill itself. And I think sooner or later, we're going to actually have a formidable draft that we're going to actually present before Cabinet for consideration. So I think that's the clarity that we can actually give in terms of the work that we're doing around the development of the public works bill. Thank you. Thank you, DG, and thank you, Chair.
Mr. Sibanda, I can see your hand is also up, and then we'll allow a DM to come in.
Minister, the DM and the DG, as well as the colleagues. Chair, I just want to take this opportunity to appreciate the comments of the honourable members. However, I just want to respond to a few issues, perhaps even to further allay the fear of the members. I think we are appreciating the fact that we have developed some kind of a turnaround plan that seeks to address some of the issues that we are faced within PMTE. The comment by the members that the role of PMTE has not been felt, either experienced in its full potential, is correct. And that has been over a period of time, Chair. Chair, we are turning the corner. We joined the entity 3 months ago. We are currently undergoing the process of review of our internal business processes, which in some cases, as we move around on our roadshow to meet clients, our client departments, we are also realizing some of the internal issues, which then contributes towards poor services to our clients. Chair, our core mandate or our core function, if you look at the portfolio from a monetary point of view, we are in charge of 149 billion rand property. And the office portfolio only constitutes 10% of that portfolio. And for that reason, the members of the portfolio committee, I know Rebusello has been very harsh on that to say this entity should be self-reliant. And that has been our focus going forward, that out of the 149 billion, how do we then sustain itself and further leverage that portfolio to enhance government services on the maintenance and improvement of our properties? I think that is the first focus area that we are looking at. The issue of office accommodation, therefore, becomes inculcated into that particular program. Chair, we are turning around as well around the construction sector. Apart from the property portfolio, we are looking at turning around the construction sector within the portfolio itself or within the entity itself. We are coming up, as the DM, I think the minister has said several times, and I'm putting systems in place with the support of the DG around the establishment of PMUs, establishment of new programs that will enhance oversight on those projects. What we have seen in my experience working in several spheres of government, within the department itself, within the CPM, we don't have a consortium of experts that oversee the implementation of projects and become an interface between our project managers and the project implementers on the ground. That has been a shortfall. That is why at times it takes too long for us to come up with a turnaround plan to rectify some of these latent defects that we've seen around, also to hold some of the contractors with immediate effect. The DG is correct. We are pursuing some of these contractors. The report around that in terms of how many we have done will be forthcoming, as the PTG has alluded earlier on. So these are some of the pockets and of interventions that we believe will turn around with this entity around those two areas. More than that, Chair, I want to emphasize the issue of the triple P. Triple P is among other vehicles that we are going to leverage on to ensure that we improve. In particular, to ensure that the working with National Treasury, we will be able to utilize that such vehicles to improve or optimize the value of our assets and ensure that at least we augmented those values to ensure that this department in the long run is able to ensure that some of these assets in their life cycle are well maintained, because maintenance is one of the key areas that, as we do meet our clients in our roadshow, we are finding to be one area where we are also lacking. We do have a lot of interventions, Chair. I think given a period of 6 months or so, we will present some of the tangibles, which will then convince portfolio committee members that this department is turning around, and we will definitely build confidence over a period of time. PMTE is controlling the biggest portfolio, as I've said, 149 billion rand, and that portfolio has to perform and generate dividends for government in a short term. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Kubega, DM, I would like to speak after the officials before the minister. I see the hand of Mr. Kubega.
Greetings, Chairperson and honorable members, Minister, DM, DG, and PMT and colleagues. I just wanted to add on what both the DG and head PMT has raised. With regard to the question raised by Honorable Suwisa, the in-house capacity that we are talking about, just to clarify, Chair, we had a team of young graduates who have recently registered as professionals, and they were on contract, and they were dealing with in-house projects as architects, project managers, and engineers. So their contract had ended, but through the assistance of HR and the DG, we have since reappointed some of them as of February this year. So they were running with some of the key projects as in-house capacity. So I just wanted to give that clarity. The second one, Chair, is that it was raised by Honorable Suwisa around the delays on the handover of sites. What has happened before, we will hand over a site to the contractor before the work permit that is issued by the Department of Labor. And you find that there will be to and fro between the contractor and the Department of Labor on the documentation that are required for the issuance of the work permit. And as a result, then of those delays, the contractor will claim the extension of time from us. So what we have now put in place as a control measure is that even after the contractor has received the appointment letter, he will not assume the site handover unless the up until the work permit has been granted. We are in discussion, Chairperson and Honourable Members, with the Department of Labour to streamline their processes and standardise their processes so that we know what are the time frames and the required documentation, so that we will then put those requirements to the contractors as we appoint them, so that it fast tracks the processes. The report that the DG talked about, we will present it to the committee, where the contractors, when they don't perform, we issue letters of mora, which allows them an opportunity to come back with an intervention plan. We then hold them into that intervention plan. If they then don't stick to the plan, we apply penalties to an extent of then terminate. Once we terminate, we then refer those terminated contracts to legal. In actual fact, Chair, we've got a meeting planned for this week to reconcile all the information of the contractors that have been terminated, those that have been referred to legal, and those that legal has already issued the letters of demand. So it is work in progress, and we will report to the committee around that work that we're currently doing. Those that are then found to be blacklisted, they are referred to the restriction committee, and the restriction committee then work with the National Treasury around the blacklisting. The process, Chair, once is with National Treasury, is out of our hands, because some of these contractors then are called to make representation at National Treasury. And that process also will delay, because National Treasury will then look at what their representation before they are then blacklisted on the system. So we are working with the National Treasury and legal to make sure that we streamline those processes so that it becomes quicker process to terminate. But we can just add, Honorable Chair, because one of the outcry was that we don't have a panel of the replacement contractors. I can report to the committee that on Friday last week, we had issued an invitation to the panel of contractors. So the tender is out, where we will then be establishing these contractors. You'll recall, Chair, when we had a physical meeting, we did indicate that we are on procurement. We can now report that the tender was out, the bid. It will close in April, and there will be adjudication of those panels. We hope that before the end of quarter one towards quarter two, we will be able to set up those panels so that it becomes easier than to then have a replacement contractor on site after the termination of the contractor. I just felt that I needed just to add, Chairperson, in terms of the work that we are currently doing in this space. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Kubaga. DM?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning to Honorable Members. I just want to comment on a few of the things that the officials might have touched on it already. But one of them is that what I want to highlight is that when the minister and I got to the department in terms of the construction projects under what Honorable Siwisa has raised, is that we found that there was a high volume of projects that are being planned on the APP vis-a-vis the method of implementation, which is going on tender for the long period of 6 months, whereas we are a department that implements a high volume of projects for our clients throughout government, which is when then the minister approved that we try the method of PMU and turnkey, which other departments in government are using through our own entity, which is the CIDP, using the turnkey. And that also looking that PMU is a gazetted a method within government that we can use in terms of the payments. Now, the PMU and turnkey will greatly assist us to deal with the turnaround of times, the timeless lapses of projects, because currently the department, when we arrived, was using a lot of consultants for implementing projects in its whole entirety. And then also coupled with the fact that you have candidate professionals at DPWI, instead of having professionals themselves, the bulk of the professionals we have are candidates, which means that we were still highly dependent on the consultants. Now, to mitigate that, if we use the PMU method, our own internal candidates will be part of the project, which means that at the same time we have a PMU, they are gaining experience, our own candidate professionals, so that we are then able to build the capacity inside. And at a later stage, we will be wind off completely from using consultants, which is in terms of the professionals themselves. Secondly, is that the minister approved that we have a panel of contractors and a panel of consultants. That is greatly going to assist us in that. Currently, it was taking a very long time to replace contractors who abandon sites. But the other thing that we are strengthening and working so that we are able to then come back to the portfolio committee to show that when contractors abandon a site, the consequences must be great. Currently, the clause in the contract was not that strong, which would allow us to actually push our contractors to be able to take their properties and also show that you can't just abandon our site and go with our money, which is one of the things that Mrs. Sikolo was raising, that Honorable Sikolo was raising, that a contractor abandoned site, you have paid them so much, you then get a contractor to then carry on with the work. But what we are working on now is tightening our contract so that nobody can just willy-nilly leave a site as they wish, because the clause now was not that strong legally for us to actually take the action that is supposed to be taken. So that is the one that we are working on, which once we have tightened it and done it, we are going to do that. And I don't want to repeat what Mr. Smande has already said in terms of PMTE, taking into cognizance that we are only getting stability now by having a permanent head of PMTE in these 3 months that we are busy in. But also that at PMTE, we will have a situation where the APP didn't align with the budget and key priorities, hence the non-alignment with performance and what is reported as key issues. But the honorable members will see that tomorrow when the APP gets presented to this honorable committee, that we have gone back and said that the APP must be aligned to the budget, because that is the only thing that is going to assist us to realize that we do not have non-alignment with performance, because that takes us back to the KPIs on how the KPIs get planned, then following on to the stage of the APP and aligning it to the budget, which are things that we have been grappling to fix. And I'm sure the Honorable Committee will see tomorrow that we have tried our best to adhere to that, so that we do not have an APP that is running on its own loosely from the budget vis-a-vis the KPIs. And then Honorable Sivisa also raised an issue around state items for the items for state events. Ever since we arrived, Honorable Sivisa, we have tried to say that at Prestige, we must have a one-stop shop, and either than having files and files of three quotations, which are hiring tablecloths, hiring cutlery, crockery, but have a one-stop shop where you have a company that will provide all these state events, cutlery, equipment, tablecloth and those things, so that what you are raising is what we have started working on in terms of having equipment that you can reuse, have tablecloths that you can reuse, and only hire that which necessarily you would not maybe find at the one-stop shop. And I'm sure that a process is very well advanced, because we started with that process ever since we arrived, after looking at how do the procurement get done for the state events. What is it that we can have in our own facilities in the storeroom that we don't need to keep on hiring, vis-a-vis what we can hire? I'm sure that we can even ask Prestige to check how far they are, because they've been doing it together with supply chain. I know that the report 3 weeks ago was that they're in the finalization stages of doing this, ever since we advised when we arrived that they need to reach that stage and adhere to advisors in terms of oversight, in terms of this one. Yeah. And I think that I must also comment on the comments that Honorable Njobo has made with people living with disabilities, that indeed the percentage is still low. But what we have advised the entities and the departments to do, Honorable Njobo, is that they should start working with recruitment agencies that are recruiting and working with people living with disabilities. This is for both the entities and the departments, that the entities also reach the percentage that they are supposed to be in. So we have asked them, and we actually even had a sort of a summit workshop with through the entities with organizations that do recruitment with people living with disabilities, because on their database, indeed, there are people with degrees, there are people with PhDs, there are people with legal degrees and all those sorts of things. So I have said to them, they must work and see how we form a relationship, so that when we recruit and there are advertisements, we also alert these organizations that do professional recruitment through their agencies for people living with disabilities, so that we are able to reach our quota. And then, Honorable Sitlolo, we are really working hard around abandoned projects, and also working on the after companies that have done this. We have a system in place that we are developing that will appraise the portfolio committee on how we are going to work with the Treasury on blacklisting these companies, so that they don't get contracts again. And as I have mentioned as well, that we are working on tightening the clauses in our construction contracts, so that they are very tightened up, and they are just don't allow contractors to just abandon sites. And Mr. Gubeka has also alluded on what we're trying to do in terms of strengthening our project management unit, so that we don't have a project management unit that is too overloaded, because currently, indeed, our ratio per projects, per one project manager is very heavy, and we are also going to fix that by having the PMUs, because then our own project managers will work together with the project managers of the PMU and the turnkey solution that we're bringing about, so that we are able to have projects which Honorable Sivisa has raised, that if a project is starting in April and must finish in December, we adhere to the construction period, notwithstanding only if we would have had the climate and environment impact in delaying our project, which would be rains and storms, which are things that cannot be controlled in construction, but those that we can control in terms of finishing a project in that specified period will be able to do that and adhere to the signs and boards and timeframes that we put on our sites that a project will be finished in the stipulated time. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Thank you, Honorable TM. Minister?
Thanks, Honorable Chair, TM members and the entire management. I think for me, we have been fairly covered on all issues that were raised by members. Safe to respond or to add that the issue of projects that are delayed and those that are taking time to be completed, we have further established the war room that meets regularly and engage on the progress. We have also started a process of ensuring that we meet with client departments. They participate in the war room, but also we meet at a ministerial level with them in the bilaterally, which we have done with almost all departments we are serving. The last point, so that I don't get long, the issue of PPP. We have met with the Minister of Finance. We have met with GTEC, which regulates the functioning of PPPs. The view is to establish the PPP unit in the department, complemented by Treasury, and then with the participation of the client departments, so that they get also the information on projects that we implement on their behalf. In all, I'm covered. We will then continue to engage on the issues that have been raised by all members. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, DM, DG, and all those that responded on behalf of the department on all the questions and comments that have been raised by Honorable Members. Honourable Members, I'm not sure whether you want a second bite or are there any other questions so that we can move to another item. In the absence of other questions from the Honourable Members, let me again appreciate all the comments that have been made by Honourable Members in interacting with the department. The report that has been presented to us by the department, and I hope that all the information that we have raised, especially the one that we can look even in our previous reports, read our recommendations, but we always appreciate when you are working on the recommendations that we have made. The issue of the practice note that you are dealing with and all the activities that you have done to ensure that you get the amounts that are due to you from other departments. It's a really a good step in the correct direction. We appreciate that. And also we appreciate the way that the members have raised their question in this portfolio committee. Just a few weeks a minister and the department and honorable members for us to finish this term. But on the issue of the documents, please improve on that one. I think we have done a lot of improvement in some of the issues that we have raised, but we really appeal that the department improve on the issue of sending us documents before the meeting starts. We can't be getting documents just on the eve of the meeting. We won't have enough time to apply our minds. Thank you again. We will go to our next item of the minutes. We will then, the department may then be released in the meeting. Ms. Martinez, can you fly to the minutes of the previous meeting? Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Honorable members, these are the minutes of the meeting that we held on the 6th of March, last week, Wednesday. Are there any questions, comments, amendments? If there is none, can I then get a mover that we adopt these minutes as the true reflection of what transpired on the 6th of March?
I move Chairperson the adoption.
Thank you, Honorable Jobo. May I get a seconder, Honorable Members?
I'll second.
Thank you, Honorable Sustalo, for that. Any announcement, Ms. Martinez?
No announcement, Chair. It's just there's a meeting tomorrow where the department will be presenting the audit action plan as well as the APP. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Let me again appreciate the way this portfolio committee is conducted, the way that you deliberate when we are dealing with the issues of the department. It's always a great pleasure to chair this meeting, Honorable Members. In the absence of any announcement, I declare the meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.